So today we're going to continue a little bit from where we left off last week with a little bit of the Machshava introducing the world of Shabbos that we're walking into, and to go through a little bit some of the sources in Chazal, some different ideas that we see about the beauty and Kedusha of Shabbos, and continuing what I call, as we discussed last week, Shabbat, the linchpin of the week, that it's really the centerpiece of our week. We're going to try and see and develop that based off of different sources tonight. Last week we discussed a little bit of the sources for Shabbos, Zachar v'Shamor, v'Dibur Echad, Chiyuv of Nashim, for everything they were Chayav in for Shamor, the Lotase, so too with the Zachar, the Aseh, the different aspects of Shabbos, the Lotase is the Malachot that you can't do, and the Zachar, the wonderful opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. With that, we then walked into the world of Kavod v'Oneg Shabbos. The idea of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos we discussed, based on the Rambam, is that really Dioraita? Is it the Rabbanan? Is it somewhere in the middle? How do we relate to different psukim that we darshan from the Nevi'im, Divrei Kabbalah, as we'll call it? Kabbalah. Okay, so is that really Dioraita Mamish? Is it like Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? Or is it the Rabbanan? That discussion from the Chasam Sofer, Gross Moshe, and Rav Avadia. And then we discussed Kavod and Oneg Shabbos. How do they play out? The idea that really Kavod Shabbos is the preparations we do on Erev Shabbos, walking into Shabbos. That are the things such as bathing in warm water, cutting our fingernails, putting on special clothing, cleaning our homes, setting the table, making your bed, etc. Those are really wonderful opportunities that we have. Interesting aside, a lot of people don't know this, the Gemara in Shabbos, I want to say, Kuf Yud Tet Amud Aleph, I believe at the top, discusses that on Erev Shabbos, when we walk home from Shul, right, it's very odd. We always like Shalom Aleichem Malachai Sharei Malachai Elyon, right? We sing Shalom Aleichem. Since when in Judaism do we talk to angels? Right? It's a very odd song. We're singing to the angels. Welcome to our home. It's so nice to see you, these angels. Boachem L'Shalom. Barchuni L'Shalom. You're asking an angel for a bracha. Yaakov Avinu did that. We ask angels for a bracha? That seems very odd. That's kind of like an odd situation. Let me say Tzitchel L'Shalom. Get out of our house. Leave. We invite these angels in. Then we tell them to leave. So the Gemara tells us that when you walk home from Shul Friday night, two angels walk with you. One is we'll call it the good angel. One is the proverbial bad angel. And they're actually there to, quote-unquote, judge us. They come into our homes Friday night, and then they check. The Gemara tells us. They look at three things. Is your table set? Is your bed made? And what is the third? Don't remember off the top of my head what the third is. This was not planned, just kind of something that crossed my mind now that I thought was an interesting aside. Three things that the angels judge you on. And depending on how it looks, whether or not your bed's made, your table's set, and I don't remember if it's food or if it's your clothing, or it's just in general shalom bayis, that there's an atmosphere of peace in the home. I don't recall which it is off the top of my head. But in general, depending on how it looks, angel A looks at angel B, and they force the second angel to say, this is what it'll look like next week. So if there is a beautifully set table, a wonderfully made bed, a beautiful home, nice food out, etc., then the bad angel has to look at the good angel in the face and say, this is what will be next week. And if there is a situation of, you know, it's a mess, there's a pigsty, the table's not set, there's broken dishes on the floor, your bed's not made, etc., then the Malach HaTov has to tell the quote-unquote bad angel, this is what will be next week. Just a little bit of chizuk for each and every one of us in regards to making our bed lichvod Shabbos, setting the table lichvod Shabbos, and everything else we do should really be a wonderful opportunity for kavod Shabbos. If you want to bring up a chair from downstairs, the door here was locked.
Oh, okay.
Or you could just sit on the stoop if you want, if you don't care to go down. Whatever's good for you. Okay, that's just an interesting aside. The idea is that really we're spending our time on Erev Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos, and it affects not only this current Shabbos, but it also will affect how does next Shabbos look. If you did a great job preparing for Shabbos, you set the table beautifully, you got special flowers, lichvod Shabbos, you bought nice dishes, lichvod Shabbos, you set the table with your white tablecloth, you know, it was embroidered by your great-grandmother in Latvia or wherever, I don't know, whatever family history you have, then that's something that's going to affect not just this current Shabbos, but next Shabbos as well. And that's something that's really, really amazing. And that's something that we look forward to. And then Oneg Shabbos is the actual enjoyment that you have on Shabbos. That's, as we said, having the fruits and vegetables, the garlic and the fish, etc. The idea of having wonderful foods, extra, you know, delicious things that you enjoy, whether that's meat, whether that's candy, whether that's wine, whether that's nice, you know, Shabbos soda, whatever, you know, your family minhag, Shabbos treats, Shabbos cereal, everyone, every family has their own shtick and gimmicks to get the kids involved. That's the idea of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos. We discussed two different ideas that I think are really important just to go over, that I personally find really, really nice and enjoyable, that are very much mechazik. The idea that Rav Soloveitchik brings down in the Shiurim L'Zecher Avi Mori, the Yurtzeit Shiurim that he gave for his father, Rav Moshe, Rav Soloveitchik explains that the difference between Kavod and Oneg Shabbos is that's what shifts the transition from a weekday to Kedusha Shabbos is only done by us. Shabbos would be no different than Thursday, and no different than Wednesday, and no different than Tuesday, except for the fact, Rav Soloveitchik says, we go out of our way to clean our homes. We go out of our way to prepare the food. We go out of our way to set the timers and to wash the floors and to make the table and to set our beds and to shower and to cut our nails and to do all these wonderful things. Rav Soloveitchik says, it's incumbent upon us to cause that transition. The fusion, the shift, the transition from weekday to Kedusha Shabbos, from Yom Chol, from Sheshi Yimei Abreishit until Kedusha Shabbos, Rav Soloveitchik points out, that is incumbent on us. And the one last idea that we finished off with last week is the idea by Rav Yehuda Shaviv formerly, he was a Rami in Alon Shvut in Haaretz Zion, and he was Nifter, I believe, a few years ago. He points out that the difference between Kavod and Oneg Shabbos is what is the focal point of our activities. When it comes to Kavod Shabbos, Rav Shaviv points out, everything we do is revolving around Shabbos. How can I make Shabbos Malkitza more welcome in my home? How can I make this Shabbos more elated, beautiful, amazing, joyous, and just stupendous atmosphere? And by doing that, we ask, how can I make Shabbos better? So of course, if the floor is cleaner, it'll be a nicer environment to invite the Shabbos queen into our home. If the table's made, of course, it'll be nicer for Shabbos. If we're bathed properly, we put on, you know, some cologne or perfume for Shabbos, of course, it's going to be a nicer atmosphere. If there's nice food, that's what it takes. Whereas an Oneg Shabbos, Rav Shaviv points out, it's not that Shabbos is the focal point, but rather we stand in the middle. The middle, the focus is, how can I make this an amazing, transcending, inspiring Shabbos Kodesh for me? How can I tap into the wonderful spiritual shefa and pleasure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bequeaths upon us on Shabbos? And that's why on Shabbos, when we talk about Oneg, the enjoyment, there's this idea of having food, having nice food, having things you don't have during the week, singing Shabbos Mirot that, I don't know, I don't know if anyone, you know, maybe you guys are different. I didn't grow up in a house where on Tuesday night we like sang like a nice song for, you know, with family dinner. The fact that, you know, the entire family was having dinner at the same time was already a chiddush as it is, let alone to sit together and have a song and a 2, 3, 4 course meal. You know, that's not something we do during the week. That's something that we do on Shabbos, where we try and take a step back. We try and tap in. We try and rest. We try and relax to enjoy that which we are gifted. And that's something that Rosh Shavi points out. That's the difference between Kavod and Oneg. What's in the focus is Shabbos in the focus. That's Kavod. That's preparing. That's what's going to happen on Erev Shabbos. That's what Rosh Soloveitchik would explain. Transitions the weekday into Shabbos, whereas in the idea for Rosh Shavi and then Oneg Shabbos is we are in the middle. That's a little bit what we discussed last week in a bubble with a specific focus on these two really beautiful ideas that we finished off with from Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Shaviv. Yeah, question on what we did last week?
No, I have a question on the angel thing that you said.
Okay. It's a blessing, or it's a curse.
Well,
it's like saying that this is just like this is now, how it is. So no matter what's going to be, you know, this is what you're going to do next week. The effort you put in now is a little bit forthtelling as to what's going to be next week. I want to try and...
It doesn't necessarily,
right, there's still an aspect of free will, but there's still a bracha that's going to come from it. I could say, oh, this is what you did this week. Next week will be the same. Generally, humans are creatures of habit. What we do week A, we do week B. I'm sure, like, there's people who, like, have the same exact menu. They make the same food every Shabbos, every week for the past 30 years. There's people that, you know, some people are totally different. Is anyone here who's, like, family, and it doesn't matter, every Shabbos we have the exact same menu?
Yeah.
I know someone who, like, I was talking, they're like, literally my mom has made the exact same food for every meal on Shabbos since I was born. Yontif, I know Rosh Hashanah, this is the menu. You know, Sukkot, this is the menu. Simchas, like, they do this, humans are are creatures of habit. So yeah, it's a certain aspect of, well, this is what you did, so that's what's going to be. It's a little bit, you know, giving over what's going to be in the future. But you still for sure have free will. But that's the idea why at the end we say Tzeitchel Mishalom, because we kicked the Malachim out. You would think I would want the Malachim to stay. But we kicked the Malachim out because we say, thank you so much for coming home with me. But right now, I've got the Malachim and I've got the Shabbos Malkita. And right now, I'd much rather enjoy spend time with the Shabbos Queen herself, who's in my home as my guest, sitting at my table, than with these two random Malachim. So we ask them to politely leave. We invite them in, welcome, maybe give us a bracha, enjoy a minute. And then we say, okay, now it's time for you to take a step out. Now it's time to leave. Then we say, Eshet Chayil, thinking, you know, praising the Shabbos Malkita herself. Okay, that's something that we do. That's a, you know, there's a shift that's going on, but there's two angels that are milaveh you home from shul, and that's something that's really part of, you know, trying, what we're saying is that's part of the preparing for Shabbos, because that's going to set the tone for what your Shabbos looks like, what your table looks like. That's something we try and, you know, strive for. Yeah. It's a great question. I'm sure there's a whole book by Rav Pinkus called Shabbat Malkita that discusses the Kedusha of Shabbos. I'm sure he discusses it there. It's been a few years since I've learned the Sefer, but it's a really interesting, fantastic Sefer that goes through a lot of the different ideas on Machshava about Shabbos. But definitely, I don't have a great source off the top of my head, like where do we first see the term, but something that's definitely discussed all across the board, the idea that there is a Shabbos queen, you know, something we all learned, I'm sure, in kindergarten. You know, there's the Shabbos Ima, the Shabbos Abba, and then there's like the Shabbos Queen. All right, I've never heard of the Shabbos King. I don't know. That's just like, whatever. But just that in general, the idea that, you know, there is a concept we're trying to tap into. I don't have a great answer off the top of my head, to be honest.
Wouldn't the Shabbos King be God?
That, I was saying, that you just assume gender to God. That's the patriarchy. You're assuming that God's a man.
I think that there is an understanding that women are more powerful than queens throughout
history. I don't know. Queen Elizabeth, the longest reigning monarch in the history of men, so that's pretty cool. She's been alive for a while. That is an understatement. Okay, let's continue. I think 93.
She's immortal.
Kanai Nahara, she's old. Ask Kalila. She's like, pays her token tax and, you know, moves on. Any other Brits here? Canadians?
Canadian.
So you also like pay your $1 a year. Hail the Queen and... Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Let's shift our discussion a little bit. Okay. Now I want to go back to the original question that the title of this shir, I guess, which is the idea of Shabbos, the linchpin of the week. Shabbos is really the center force. It's this defining moment in the middle of the week. We're used to growing up in a, you know, secular society, or go by the Gregorian calendar, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So people often assume, and this is at least the way I think most people understand, that Shabbos is kind of the bookend of your week. It's either the end of your week, it's the first day of the next week. It's kind of there to as a transition between week A and week B. And I want to argue, maybe that's not necessarily the case. The Gemara in Beitza and Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph tells us a really, really interesting discussion. We are familiar very often with machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. But sometimes there are machloket between not just the Beit Medrash, the students of Shammai and Hillel, but of Shammai and Hillel themselves. And the discussion was, the Gemara tells us, Amru alav al Shammai hazaken. They told us about Shammai the elder. Kol yamav haya ochel l'chvod Shabbat. Every single day he would eat l'chvod Shabbos. He would eat for Kavod Shabbos every day. What do you mean? On Tuesday he was having lunch and saying, oh, this counts as owning Shabbos. That doesn't really make sense. How is he able to do that? So the Gemara then explains, Matzah behema na'a omer zulah Shabbos. he would go out to the market, he would see a nice chunk of meat, and he would see a nice cow, he would see a nice steak, he'd say, oh, this is, I'm putting aside for Shabbos. He'd buy it, go home, didn't really have fridges, but proverbially put it in the fridge, say, this is the wonderful, beautiful meat that I just bought for Shabbos. Matzah acheret, na'ah himena, maniach et ha'shniya v'ochel et ha'rishona. And then he would see later on, the next day, or same day, he would see an even nicer piece of meat in the shuk. He would buy that second piece of meat that's even nicer. He would take the first piece, eat the first piece, and say, no, the second piece is even better. That's for Shabbos. But this was not what Hillel HaZaken did. Mida acheret haitalo. He had a different character trait. Shekol ma'asav l'shem shemayim. Every single thing he did was for God's sake. Shenemar Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The Pasuk tells us, we say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Every day is amazing. Thank God for today. You know, praise the Lord, hallelujah, today is a wonderful day. So every single day, Hillel would say, I am buying a wonderful piece of meat for today because today is a day to praise God, hallelujah. Baruch Hashem, yom yom, today is a wonderful day. Tanya nami hachi bet shamei omrim, micha ad shavich l'shavchei, bet Hillel omrim Baruch Hashem yom yom. And this was the debate between the students of Hillel and the students of Shammai. The students of Shammai would say every single day when I go shopping, I say, oh, this is what we're having for Shabbos. This is a wonderful piece of meat. I'm putting it aside. And the students of Hillel would say, no. Today is a day where you say, Baruch Hashem. Wow, what an amazing day. We live in the moment. Right now, we have an opportunity to have a wonderful day. It's a fantastic Monday evening. So let's have a nice barbecue. It's a fantastic, you know, Tuesday. So let's have some beautiful, nice pizza, fresh mozzarella, whatever it is. Okay? The idea that every day we have to live in the moment to maximize the moment and say thank you Hashem for what we currently have is something that's not to be taken for granted. Whereas in Shammai, he says, yes, that's true. But the focus is not what does today bring me, what's in store today, but rather the key aspect of my life. What do I always look for? What am I eyeing? What do I wait for? What do I anticipate? Shabbos Kodesh. I want to see what's going to be on Shabbos. And I want to ensure and make sure that Shabbos is going to have the nicest food. So if I see a nice piece of meat, I'm going to put it aside for Shabbos. I'm not belittling today. But the focus of my week, the pearl in my eye, is what's going to be on Shabbos. And then if I find something nicer, it's not like I say, oh, well, I was already banking on that piece of meat I have in the fridge for my chillin' on Shabbos. No, I found an even nicer piece of meat, a more expensive, fancy cut. Oh, well, how could I have this other cut? This is so not mechubot. I have to have the nicest thing I could find. That was the inherent debate between Shammai and Hillel. Do I live in the moment, or do I have my eyes constantly on something in the near future? And Shammai says, no, I'm constantly eyeing Shabbos. Shabbos is the apple in my eye. That's my heart's delight. How could I possibly have anything else? And that is the fascinating debate between Shammai and Hillel that played out amongst their students. How do I relate to the week? How do I relate to what's currently in front of me? Do I say right now, I'm living in the moment? Or do I say, yes, this is an amazing piece of meat. Wow. Thank you for it. But I'm going to wait for Shabbos. We see an interesting debate in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Resh Mem Chet Amud Sif Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch discusses a case where someone, and it's not the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara already discusses the Rishonim, etc. I just brought it here for the Shulchan Aruch. It's a little more succinct that way. Discusses a case. I want to embark on a journey. I want to go out in a boat to travel. The Gemara tells us already, as brought down here in the Shulchan Aruch, Mutar laflig basfina, afilu b'erev Shabbos, im holech l'dvar mitzvah. On Erev Shabbos, I could get on a boat that will travel through Shabbos for a Dvar Mitzvah. If it's for a Tzorech Dvar Mitzvah. For example, Pidyon Shvuyim, there's someone captive and you're traveling with the money to free them, the ransom. For example, you're going to bring your Akala traveling to the Chuppah, whatever, something like that, that couldn't be done at another time. That you could do even on Erev Shabbos. Aval Lidvar Rishut. But you're simply traveling, whether it's for pleasure, whether it's for business, something that does not need to happen. There's no mitzvah in it happening right now. Ein mafligim b'svina pachot migimel yamim kodem Shabbat. And then the Ramah adds, aval kodem shalosh yamim, Shari. But more than 3 days earlier, it's mutter. Who has familiar heard this halacha before? 3 days before Shabbos, it's usher to get onto a boat. You're familiar with that? I guess you're from Florida, so like everyone, like you're taking a cruise down to the Caribbean. It's like that's what you do. Right? But yeah, so this is an interesting discussion. How it applies today, halacha l'maisa, with modern boats, etc. Interesting discussion. But not really, right now that's not our discussion, but fascinating one. Does this halakha still apply or not? But the idea is, 3 days before Shabbos, I cannot get on a boat unless it's L'dvar Mitzvah. Why would that be? What do you assume? Yara, what do you say?
I guess just like, if you
But let's say my trip is, right, if I'm traveling from England to America by boat. Let's say that, I don't know how long that takes by boat. Let's say it's going to take 3 weeks. What difference does it matter if I embark on my journey on Monday or if I embark on Thursday? And it's not like, oh, 3 days because you want to get there in time. Let's say it's a journey that no matter what, you're going to be on the boat for Shabbos. What do you say? Molly, what do you say?
Maybe it's to show that you're thinking about Shabbos. Like, if it was possible for me, you know, I'm not going to do it in a way that might seem like I'm being disrespectful of Shabbos because I'm doing it so close to Shabbos. I'd rather make it seem like I'm doing everything I can to avoid it.
Even though no matter what, I'll be on the boat for Shabbos regardless?
Yeah, just kind of like an appearance thing. Like paying homage to Shabbos.
Is that like a statement for yourself or for God?
Both.
Okay. Yeah, what were you going to say?
You can't get on the boat like 3 days before Shabbos. Like, including the, like...
Machloket of the Rishonim already, if this includes Wednesday or Thursday. Do I count Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? That's my 3 days? Or is it Thursday, Friday, Shabbos? That's my 3 days. That's a machloket Rishonim, but that's a little like definitely a question that's discussed.
Could it be that in case there's a storm and then the boat is held up and you're going to be on the boat for another few days and then you'd be on the boat for a second Shabbos unnecessarily and it would be avoidable?
Interesting. I haven't heard anyone say that before, but that's a fascinating point. If you get held up at sea, then that extra day, if you leave on a Thursday, that extra day could push you through Shabbos. But if you leave on Monday, that extra day, the chances that you get an extra Shabbos at sea are inherently less. Interesting, fascinating idea. I have not heard anyone say that, but I actually really like that idea. The reason generally brought down in the Gemara and Chazal is because of seasickness. What difference does it make? I'm going to be at sea for 3 weeks. What difference does it make I'm going to be seasick no matter what. So where does this 3 days kick in from? Yeah? Right, exactly. That's the idea, as brought down by the Mishnah Berurah. The main reason why this is that because you don't want to be seasick, and generally seasickness hits you at the beginning. After 3 days, you start to get used to it. So they said, for Dvar Mitzvah, we're going to be makel because it's Tzorach HaMitzvah. But if you're going for business, don't go that you're going to be seasick. You're going to be spending your Shabbos over the railing, throwing up on the side of the boat. That's not how you spend your Shabbos. And this is why the Ramah says, but if you leave more than 3 days, it's not a problem, because then your seasickness is already going to be behind you. And the Mishnah Berurah there says exactly this. But the Mishnah Berurah takes it a step further. He says, Hatam kemoshe katavnu lemala dishloshim yom yamim kodem ha-shabbos shayachim le-shabbat haba. V'chalalav lehizaher shelo yavo lidei chilul shabbat. The reason why this is, yes, it's because we don't want you to be seasickness. We don't want to be mevatel at Onik Shabbos. We don't want to put you, you know, through more, you know, discomfort on Shabbos, a day that's supposed to be restful, a day that's supposed to be enjoyable. The Mishnah Berurah says because 3 days before Shabbos, it's already shayach to Shabbos. It's already part of the coming Shabbos. You've already walked into Shabbos a little bit. Wednesday morning, what do we say at the end of Shir Shal Yom on Wednesday? We sing the very first words of the opening of Kabbalah Shabbos on Wednesday, right after Shachar. Why? Because this is the opening, this is the start. We're now walking into the coming Shabbos. This is the opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us right now. It's Wednesday, or Thursday according to the other opinions. This is Shayach to the coming Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says, 3 days before, yes, seasickness is an issue. But 3 days, that's it's as if you're leaving on Erev Shabbos itself. It's like you're spitting in the eye of Shabbos, because this is part of Shabbos. You don't leave then. It's like walking out in front of you, you know. It's like anyone who's ever been stuck at like a graduation that goes on for way too long. So you walk out like, okay, I know this is going to be 8 hours, so I'm going to walk out in the first half, like right in the middle, right before they start calling up names. That's the part that takes the longest that everyone doesn't care about. You care about seeing the one person who you're there for walk across stage, and you're like, yay! And then everyone's like, okay, why am I watching the other people who I have no idea who they are? So it's like you walk out, you know, your friends, you know, whoever you're there for, his name's Goldberg, it's like you walk out right when they're like, right, like finishing up the D's, you get up and you leave. That's what this is, like Shabbos is right, it's right in the doorway, and you get up and you walk out. Mishnah Berurah saying 3 days before Shabbos, it's part of the coming Shabbos. And you can't do something that's potentially going to affect the coming Shabbos negatively. This idea is actually going to come up in a fascinating machloket between Magen Avraham and Taz regarding a bris milah. We know Uvayom Hashmini Yima Basara Ur Lato, the Pasuk tells us, on the eighth day you should do a bris milah. And from there the Gemara Darshins, Biyom Hashmini Afilu B'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos you do a bris on the eighth day. What happens in a case where the bris milah is not on time? The baby's jaundice, or there was other health issues, they couldn't do it on time, or debates, maybe a C-section, maybe IVF, IUI babies, etc. Different discussions in the postgym on different types of birth. So that we all know is that, whatever, leave some of those cases aside, but let's say for health reasons, they couldn't do the bris milah on Shabbos. So what do we generally say? When do you do it? As soon as possible, right? Even though the mitzvahs, bizmana, is not with us right now, it's avarnu, it's behind us. The 8 days are up. But there's still an idea of Zerizim Makdim, and we want to do the bris milah as fast as possible. This is going to be a fascinating debate amongst the Achronim. If you have two brises in the same day, one is bizman, one is not bizman, who goes first? The eighth day is mitzvah bo bayom, or do I say no? The one who's not bizman, because every second he's over is reason makdimin. Fascinating machloket, not for now. But something definitely interesting to think about. How do you relate to who goes first? Someone who's bizman or someone that's pushed off? So we generally say a bris milah that's pushed off, we do as fast as possible. But there's a machloket based off of this sugya that we just said. If the bris milah for health reasons was pushed off, can I do a bris milah on Thursday? Can I do a bris milah shelo bizman on Friday? What would you argue? What do you guys say?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You do?
It's on a Friday.
Yeah, the bris milah is not bizman. It should have been on Thursday.
Okay.
It should have been on Thursday, but the baby was a little jaundiced. Friday morning, Billy Rupin count goes back down. All's good. Friday, you get a green light from the doctor. You can do the bris.
Let's do it on Friday.
So who votes to do it on Friday? Before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. We're at 6-1. Six say you do it. What's your argument why you wouldn't do it?
I have no argument. I just don't see why one would do it, given that we're bringing this in as evidence as related to a previous thing where you don't do things before Shabbos.
Ah, so you're basically just saying the fact that I'm mentioning it now seems to basically imply otherwise.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Not rude at all. It's just thinking logically. That makes perfect sense. So basically, this discussion is brought up halacha lemaisa. Very big debate. Is a bris milah shelo bizman going to be done within 3 days before Shabbos? This same question is going to be discussed regarding elective non-life-threatening surgery. Let's say you have to have lo aleinu a cataract removed. There's no pikuach nefesh right now in having a cataract for the next day or two, unless you're going to be driving and doing other, you know, things that you probably shouldn't be doing if you can't see well. Right. So this discussion is going to be elective surgery that's not life-threatening. Maybe that shouldn't happen within 3 days before Shabbos. That's something that's going to be incredibly important. And so this is going to be a discussion. We understand that Shabbos is a day that extends not just to Shabbos itself, but to the days before it. How do I relate to the week when I go shopping? Oh, this looks like an amazing babka. I'm going to buy that and put that aside for Shabbos. Wow, what wonderful looking gummy bears. That's for Shabbos. Wow, that's a really nice bottle of wine. I'm going to put that aside for Shabbos. Or no, that's a great bottle of wine. Tonight, we're going to have a wonderful bottle of wine. Tonight, we're going to go through that big bag of gummy bears. Yeah.
I can do that.
You raise your hand?
Yeah. Practically, about the thing about saving the meat for Shabbos, if you bought meat on, like, Sunday, wouldn't it be rotten by the time you eat Shabbos?
They had ways to save meat, whether it was salting it, whether it was keeping it in shady places. I don't know, like, how they cured their meat back then, but they had ways that they kept their meat. You put it in like a clay pot under like in your cistern. I don't know.
Or I don't know. You give it to a loan shark. Shady places.
Okay. The Gemara then takes us. So from here we see that the idea, from based on the Mishnah Berurah that we said before, these Kedusha of Shabbos starts 3 days before Shabbos even begins. From 3 days before, whether that's Wednesday, whether that's Thursday, let's assume for now Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 7 day week, makes sense. Shabbos is day four, wouldn't be included because you would never take off on Shabbos. Let's go with that opinion for now. So clearly, that applies then. What do we say? The Shulchan Aruch discusses fascinating, a lot of interesting discussions come up in the Halachot of Havdalah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins regarding Halacha and Siman Reish Sadi Tet Sif Vav. Shachach v'lo hivdil b'motzei Shabbat, mavdil ad. What's the latest you can make Havdalah? Sof Yom Gimel. Until Tuesday, till the end of Tuesday evening. This is fascinating. Starting 3 days before Shabbos, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I have to start preparing for Shabbos. I can't maybe have a bris milah shelo bizman. I can't maybe have non-life-threatening surgery. I can't go out on my boat just for fun, for business, for pleasure. And then I could do Havdalah up to 3 days later. How does our week look if we want to look at it from the eyes of Chazal and the ways we relate to our week in the world of Halacha? Wednesday, preparing for Shabbos. Thursday, preparing for Shabbos. Friday, preparing for Shabbos. Erev Shabbos. Shabbos ends up being the fourth day of the week. I could do Havdalah on Sunday, I could do Havdalah on Monday, Havdalah on Tuesday. It ends up being that Shabbos is not the bookend of our week. Rather, Shabbos is the middle of the week. Shabbos is the focal point of our week. It's a day where we ask ourselves, how do I relate to it? How do I tap into it? What do you mean? Every single day of the week has an aspect, has a nekuda, has a little bit of Kedusha Shabbos relating to it, has a pintel of Shabbos in it, has this idea, these sparks, the nitzotzot of Shabbos are there for you to take. And it's not so crazy because every day has the avodah of Shabbos in it. Right now, it's Monday evening. We could make Havdalah. Baruch Hashem, I hope everyone made Havdalah Bizman, Motzei Shabbos, like they should have. But if someone didn't, you would make Havdalah today, whether or not you were allowed to eat from Motzei Shabbos till now. Also, fascinating question, different discussion. But questions that come up with Havdalah are, Havdalah is able to be said until Tuesday. Exactly. So this is something we say, that no matter how we look at our week surrounds Shabbos. Shabbos is the middle of our week. It's not the bookend. It's not there to catch up the back end, to close out a difficult week. It's a day where we tap in. It's a day that carries our week. A lot of people always discuss this around, who here is, was it this year? No. When was the last time like Shavuos was followed Motzei Shabbos? Yeah, like a Motzei Shabbos followed Shavuos. Was that this past year in America? It could have been this past year in America. I don't remember. So who here has heard before when it falls out that way? You have Shabbos followed by Shavuos as like the second, the night of Shavuos is basically Motzei Shabbos. Who has heard before that you're not allowed to take a nap on Shabbos afternoon because that's Hachana for Shavuos? Okay, that's like a hack and a whole discussion. Can I take a nap on Shabbos afternoon so that I have kolach to stay up all night learning on Shavuos night? What do you guys say? But what if when I lie down, I verbally announce, thanks so much for a wonderful lunch, Mom. I really appreciate it. I'm going to go take a nap so that I have the, koach to stay up all night learning.
I don't verbally announce it. Just sort of go, I'm taking a nap, wink, wink, and leave.
So that's what a lot of postkim say you should do.
I'm taking a nap. I'm taking a nap. Coincidentally,
So there's a whole discussion that comes up, and how do we relate from Shabbos to the time that comes after it? For a lot of times, people will say, I'm taking a nap because I need to have energy for Shavuos. Or how many times have you heard someone say on Shabbos, I'm going to take a nap, I'm so exhausted, it was such a difficult week. So who's heard like their father say that after a really long week before? I'm going to take a nap Shabbos afternoon because... It's like, everyone's like, heard that before. Oh, I have to take my Shabbos nap because next week's going to be a killer. So there's an aspect that Shabbos ends up being, and this is what we're going to try and, I guess, be metakian a little bit in the next little piece, is we often relate to Shabbos as a day where we're kind of cleaning up for the rest of the week. Shabbos is the closer. It's there to kind of clean up. I'm tired. I had a rough week. Let me take a nap now. I'll go to bed early Friday night because, you know, I can't check my email for the 20th time today anyhow. So there's a certain aspect of Shabbos ends up being just kind of that default day where the rest we didn't get during the week kind of falls out on. And I want to argue that that's not the case. Yeah. It's like you're preparing for after Shabbos. You're doing something. It's hachana.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not that you're being mean to Shabbos, but you're using your Shabbos time to prepare for something that's not on Shabbos.
Yeah, that's what I...
So the Gemara in Shabbos, we quoted before the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yotet. The Gemara in Kuf Yotet, I'm going to bet, continues. We have a minhag generally, Friday night at the end of davening, we say vayichulu after Shmona Esrei. There's a minhag that you should say it with someone else, right? Happens often if you're davening, your Shmona Esrei takes a little bit longer, the shul's already said vayichulu. After davening, you should try and grab someone and say, hey, can we say vayichulu together? The reason for that is that we're having edus, we're giving verbal testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world when we say vayichulu. So every Shabbos, that's what we're doing. We're testifying on Kodesh Baruch Hu. You created the Shabbos. You created the world, as we said earlier. So that's something the Gemara then tells us. Even if you're davening alone, you still say Vayichulu. I don't get it. Don't we say that you have to say it with two people and you should be standing because it's in an Eidos? Eidos, you're standing in front of Beis Din. There's two people. B'shtei Eidim, Kiyum HaDavar. With two people, the it's going to exist. You have to be standing. No. Even when you're alone, you say it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. It's as if Shabbos is our partner in the creation of the world. Even though no one else is there to say Vayichulu with you, you're davening on your own. No one's there. You're in bidud. You're in quarantine. You're off on your own wherever you are for Shabbos. No one else is nearby. You still say Vayichulu because Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Malkut, as we quoted before, is your other aid. There's an aspect that even when nothing else is there, Shabbos is a day that itself fills a void. The Chayyadam, Rav Danzig, has an interesting idea in the very beginning of his Hilchos Shabbos. He writes, Shabbos Kodesh hu ha'ot ha'gadol v'ha'brit she'natan ha'kodesh baruch hu l'Yisrael. L'man yidu ki shesh imim asa Hashem kol ma shebara b'shamayim v'aret v'shabbat b'yom ha'shvi'i v'hu yisod emunat lida she'olam hu mechudash. Shabbos itself, it's the greatest sign. It is the covenant itself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. As the Gemara tells us, Matana tova yesh li bebeit genazai. In my treasury, in my storehouses, I have a wonderful gift for you. V'shabbos shmo. And Shabbos is her name. This was a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. This is the covenant. This is the sign. This is where it's all at. So that we know that for 6 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And on the seventh day, He's rested. This is the source. This is the foundation. This is the this is the origin of all of our emunah. This is where we know it all comes from. That every single week, the world itself replenishes itself. Is mitchadesh. Renews itself. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything, He created the 6 days, He created Shabbos itself, He is the master of everything Himself. We're a servant, and everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to use all of our money, our physical self, our spiritual self, to tap into Shabbos. The Chayyadim is explaining the symbolism, the fact that Shabbos is our covenant with Hashem. It is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shabbos for us to relate to, not only to Shabbos itself, but to relate to Hashem, to recognize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us. And I want to now discuss one of my favorite pieces in Noam Elimelech, one of my favorite Svarim, Rav Elimelech Melizhansk. He discusses in Parshas Vayigash a fascinating idea at the beginning of the Parsha, that with everything in our life, there's mixtures of Yira and Ahava. We know that there's some moments where you feel tremendous fear and trepidation. And there's times in life where you just feel joy and elation. You feel the jubilation, you feel, wow, this is amazing. And there's times where all you want to do is sit down and cry. Right? I'm sure everyone's been to a moment where it's like, wow, this is amazing. And there's moments where you're like, wow, I wish to be anywhere but here right now. And it's very rare that we sense moments where there's that tension. Because generally fear and love, Yira and Ahava, they live separately. They generally don't live together. It's not generally a symbiotic relationship. They stay apart. Like oil and water. And there's very few times where you tap in. There's maybe this idea of Yom Kippur. On one hand, it's the happiest day of the year. On the other hand, it's Yom Adin. Different discussion. How we relate to the two different, you know, driving forces and aspects and kedushas on Yom Kippur in particular. But generally, Yira and Ahava stay apart. And Rav Elimelech says this too. He discusses this in a different place. So does the Bnei Zaschar regarding tshuva and tshuva mi'ava, tshuva mi'ira, and the whole idea in the Rambam there. But for now, we're going to stick to the world of Shabbos. Rav Elimelech explains so beautifully. Our week is split between Yira and Ahava. Our week has facets of fear, and our week has facets of love. And I'm willing to assume everyone here prefers those amazing highs of love, happiness, and joy. Most people don't enjoy the depressing, difficult, horrible, harsh moments that sometimes happen in life. We prefer the happiness. And Rav Elimelech tells us, Shabbos is the day that's kulo ahava. Shabbos is a day of 100% love. And the other 6 days of the week are full of yira. We have 7 days of the week, and one day is complete ahava. One day is complete yira. And Rav Elimelech explains so beautifully, but we all strive, we all desire, we all want ahava in our lives. We all want the positivity, we all want the love, we all want the appreciation, we all want the benefits, the joy, and the enjoyment of the ahava during our week. And you know how you could tap into that, Rav Elimelech says? When you take a little bit of Kedusha Shabbos into your week. When on Shabbos you have a certain spiritual enjoyment, a certain spiritual high, you get an inspiration. You get an excitement, you get a spark. And that idea that you got on Shabbos carries you through the week. When you're able to take the Kedusha of Shabbos and carry that over into your week, you are able to have a life where it's not Yira and Ahava separately, but a life that the base is Yira. But you're able to infuse it with the Ahava. You're able to take the love, the happiness, the amazing opportunities that Shabbos gives us, the Oneg Shabbos that we've discussed, the Kavod Shabbos that we work so hard to prepare for, and to carry that into the rest of our week, that our entire week is uplifted. Our entire week is in the sky. And yes, so maybe you might not be eating cholent 7 days a week, but you have a little spiritual piece of that cholent with you everywhere you go. That's part of what we're doing. We count the days of the week. How do we relate to Shabbos? Hayom Yom Rishon b'Shabbos. Hayom Yom Sheni b'Shabbos. Hayom Yom Shlishi b'Shabbos. And on Wednesday, where seemingly Shabbos feels so far away. But we're halfway there, only 3 more days to go. Lechun Eranina LaHashem. We scream out at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like it's Kabbalah Shabbos right now. What do you mean? It's Wednesday. Yes. Now is when we start. We get in the mood. We get in the mindset. And right now it's Monday. And we say Shabbos felt like it was so long ago. So much has happened since Shabbos. How many phone calls, how many text messages, how many things that have seemingly removed us one more step away from Shabbos. But you take a moment and you say, you know what? Al pi halacha, right now it's shayach to last week. I could still make havdalah from last Shabbos. I'm still shayach to the previous Shabbos. Right now, we might be looking towards Parshas Noach. Our Shnai Mikra, we're doing Parshas Noach. But there's an aspect of Parshas Bereishit that still governs our life. And that's how we count our week. It's not Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. I'm counting towards the next Shabbos. I'm looking forward. We're not counting down, we're counting up. Wow, today's the first day in the cycle of Shabbos. But our week is centered around the Kedusha of Shabbos. And that's what gives us the opportunity, that's what gives us the ability, that's what enables us to tune in, to tap into, and to enjoy and appreciate, and to carry over the Kedusha of Shabbos to the entire week, to our entire life. Rav Elimelech and the Bnei Yisrael discussed this also regarding tshuva, that we have an opportunity of having tshuva mi'ava from Dafka. The Shabbos is of Elul, and that carries over to our tshuva during the week, which is Yira. Different idea how we relate to tshuva on Shabbos. But when we relate to our week, of it's connecting into the Shabbos that was and the Shabbos that is, we're currently in the middle of two amazing Shabboses. Right now we're living our lives tied spiritually to the creation of Bereishis and the floods of Noah, and how that shifts from day one to day two to day three. The stars, the moon, the sun, the grass, the fish, humans, Shabbos, the flood, the rainbow. Wow! There's so much going on that shayach to us. Rav Tzadok says that the way that we relate, the coming week's Parsha always teaches us something about the current events. There's something about the Parsha every week that's coming to teach us something unique about the situation we're currently standing in the world. Because the Shabbos is what connects us. It's what roots us. It's what carries us over. And that's what how we are able to tap into the idea of Ahava even during a weekday. Even during a day that's kulo yira, we have an opportunity, we have an ability, we have an opportunity, and I would even argue an obligation, to try and carry that Ahava over into the rest of our week. Rav Dessler writes, I brought it to you in English here, in Strive for Truth, in Michtav Meliyahu, the holiness of Shabbos must also infuse our weekday activities. But one may not be so absorbed in earning a living that one loses sight of all purpose or striving, coming closer to God. The test is, the thoughts of our work invade our Shabbos, or does the spirit of Shabbos permeate our week? This is the meaning of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho. Remember the Shabbos during the week to keep it holy. Arrange your business activities in such a way that you'll be able to take your mind off of them on Shabbos. Rav Dessler asks us the question, and for many people this is the hardest question of their Shabbos. What's my mindset? Is Shabbos a day to maybe rest from my work? To maybe start mulling over, what did I do this past week in work that I could try and upgrade and benefit, make more money next week? Or no, when I'm sitting at work, do I just wish, oh, I wish I was sitting at the Shabbos table with my kids and with my family and maybe my neighbors? Do I wish I was sitting around the Shabbos table singing Zmirot? Do I wish I was in the middle of a wild, spiritually uplifting Kabbalah Shabbos? Do I wish that we were having a nice shiur, a beautiful kiddush, celebrating a bar mitzvah? How do I relate to Shabbos? Is Shabbos simply a day where we can't do things? It holds us back from working, from doing the things maybe we feel like we enjoy. Or is Shabbos a day full of opportunities? A day that's completely full of Avas Hashem? A day that's for us to tap into, to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize that which He does. And we have to recognize that Shabbos is not just a day where we say, oh, I'm taking a nap because I'm exhausted from work. No, it's a day that spiritually charges us. It's a spiritual uplifter for the entire week that's coming ahead of us. And that's a way how we should relate to it. Shabbos is not a bookend after a difficult week. And it's not a rest stop before another hard week at work. Shabbos is the middle of the week. It's what charges us. It's the linchpin that holds the entire system called the week together. It is that central pin that holds the entire mechanism known as life, one solid piece. And we should be zocha every single week to tap into the wonderful opportunities that Shabbos gives us, to feel the avas Hashem, to feel the wonderful blessing that Shabbos really is to each and every one of us every single week. Amen.